aware member. Mm. Laws are not sentient. This is how the Africa has given the process of amnesia. As bringing the point to the amendment of the act. Whose intention is to ensure the proper functioning and efficiency. I have learned that this process of amendment that has been the official administration, all the amendments were not tabled for my requirement. We are very optimistic that that has been the table to be before the end of this administration. Finalization of the diplomatic cases in the public service is a major, major challenge confronting most of the government departments. Diplomatic cases are sometimes not concluded within the prescribed period. This is mainly the concern if nothing is done to address the move forward. It is high time that this committee would hold departments accountable. Madmen who are contributing. This can be achieved only if the department consistently and constantly monitors and enforce department comply with the legislative requirements. Again, public report to the committee. One other telling issue. The suspension of officials for disciplinary reasons. Suspensions that are taken long before the actual disciplinary case. That needs to be addressed too. Others that are suspended with full pay, others are suspended without pay. That must be addressed. I would like also to make, to appeal to members to make this thing of this case a strategic obsession of this political portfolio policy. With those viewers, I therefore declare the portfolio committee meeting open. Let me also take this opportunity knowing that the gentleman on the right is a case. It is his birthday. I was told that he is an old man now because he is 10 feet. I have few apologies for the community. And I hope also have the apology of the Honorable Jackson Ken, the Minister in the President. I hope the committee will not have and I also have Honorable Schreiber, and I also apologize once again. I don't want, Malad,
Chair, with your permission, I'd like to be introduced to Devin Alphabet in an hour.
I'll keep that as a backup moment. Okay. Thank you. We have acknowledged that as well. Let me welcome both GM Vadia, Public Service Administration GM is here, GME GM is here. Welcome to this committee meeting. We are going to receive briefing from Staff FA. I don't see the off here either. FP, you remember that in the previous meeting of this committee, there were a few of them regarding the funding of the country. And I would like to, as you give us your briefing, to address the committee as to where are you now? Because the committee said this matter should be addressed with the Minister of Finance of the matter of pension. I think when you address us, you must also address us as to how far have you gone up to now on this matter. Without any further waste of time, let's give the floor to you.
Once we appear before this committee and we are led by the deputy minister, it's only common protocol and courtesy that the deputy minister might start and then I will address.
I usually do that. I don't know what is wrong. Maybe I'm rushing too much. I always give the political head of the department that opportunity.
Good morning.
Thank you again, Chairperson, and greetings to members of the Portfolio Committee, Deputy Minister, and colleagues. Chair, there are two things that we will deal with, and the one that I want to start with is the matter that the Chair highlighted on the issues of challenges of funding to the sector. Following the release of a council statement, the Minister and the President, convened the meeting between himself, Council, and the Secretary General. And that meeting agreed that those three institutions, Minister, Secretary General, and Council, that are properly referenced in the Act, and that independent of each other with different functions, will go and meet with the Minister of Finance and National Treasurer to continue to pursue matters of funding for services. So that's the final agreement that we have, that the Council Secretary, the Secretary General, and Minister will take this matter. Having said so, when we were told to come and deal with matters of legislative reform, we learned that this portfolio committee has invited council. And I'm happy to see the chairperson of council, Professor David Everett, arriving. He has gotten lost to another room, so I need to apologize for it. Now, we should separate council. Okay, when we talk council separate body completely. And the funding that we are talking about is not for council. It's for the functioning of the secretary. Because council has a responsibility to advise both the minister and the secretary general, but also has a responsibility to safeguard official statements. So this presentation that I'm going to make now is not a council presentation. Council may listen to it, but when questions come and we have discussions, they can comment, but they can't comment in a sense that they own it. Because if we do that in a public space or in a private space, we both council and secretary lose their independence, and I'm not prepared to do that. So council will have their own ways exercising their own independence. I will deal with this one if Chairperson allows. Thank you very much. In this regard, let me deal with legislative reform and indicate that we'll deal with the background, the rationale for amendment of the Act, the Statistics Act consultation process, the key amendments to the CES Act, the impact of the revised Act, and of course, conclusions. Statistics, I'm told that the reflection right behind me, that one is not reflected. So for those who want to see, they must look right here. But that's not how the statistics are. We make them public at all times. We don't hide them like that. But statistics are not required the responsibility to produce official and other statistics as a public good. And this is in line with Act No. 6 of 1999. What we are having as we have currently is that we have a decentralized statistical system, which consists of SSA together with other departments, and of course, depending on their mandate. Furthermore, since 1999, there has never been, this Act has never been fully implemented, especially in relation to bringing other entities into the statistics fold, and that is why we want to go forward and have legislative reform. And what are these issues? What are these limitations? The inability to fully implement the Act is usually relating to the weakness in the current Statistics Act. It lacks sufficient authority, and of course, as a result, it is unfair in the implementation and coordination of statistics by the Statistician General. Consequently, the Statistician General's ability to adequately meet the data needs for stakeholders, and one our main stakeholder is government, are limited. And I will deal with that as we come to go further. In this regard, our quest to strengthen the coordination role of the Statistician General is that we want to resolve the best option that the Amendment Act will give us, and of course, we went further to engage in the process of consultation. What is the rationale? Why do we have to amend the Act? We needed to introduce the concept of the System of National Statistics. We needed to create for government of statistical and the entire statistical system. We needed to provide for statistical planning amongst other organs of the state to make sure that we use non-traditional data sources for the production of statistics, particularly official statistics. We needed to access data from trading entities and other organs of the state, and of course, to make sure that we respond adequately to the fourth industrial revolution, particularly through the data revolution. The process of legislative reform has been ongoing for quite some time. Firstly, in 2010, it started with our new strategic direction that indicated the limitations. When we were looking at that strategy, we realized that there were limitations, and of course, there were policy documents in relation to statistical regulations and the like, and we started looking at legal opinion as far as 2011. Moving forward, as far as 2014, we had the symposium with the Statistics Council, and as I've indicated, Chair, that Statistics Council is independent. That symposium was critical because the Statistician General is responsible for official and other statistics, in that the Statistician General can look at poor quality statistics and graduate them to acceptable quality, and finally, official statistics, whereas Council has particular interest in the final leg of official statistics. But in the event statistics lack, Council can raise the red flag and say, Mr. FG, you are not watching the rules very well. Or can tell the nation, the Statistician General is actually not doing his work, he's sleeping on the job. So those kinds of issues are issues that we need to look at. And I don't want to say here, Chair, that other powers of the Council, that is the Statistician General is sloppy on the job, they can recommend the president to remove the Surgeon General. So this relationship is a very interesting one. And we don't have to keep each other happy, nonetheless. Let's continue, Chair. In 2017, we had study tours, and of course, we drafted the legislation. In 2018, we finalized the amendments that we needed. We started the process of taking it forward through other processes, and then submitted the draft bill. After the state law advised us, we took the draft bill forward. And indeed, 2019, we had the chief state law advisor telling us what we need to do next. What are the next steps? I will give them going forward. I have them down the road. But what are we responding to? What is it that we will finally be able to handle if we have this statistical unit functioning everywhere? We will be able to deal with matters of statistical geography. Coordination and compliance will work very well. Institutional arrangement and protocols will be quite clear. Statewide statistical service will be defined and be taken forward, and the data revolution that we subscribe to in the fourth industrial revolution will be able to be driven forward. We consulted other countries. We looked at legislations of other countries, some in desktop, some in our interactions with them. I must say, on the African continent, South Africa has been a key player in working with other national agencies, not only in chairing committees, but also in assisting in peer reviews. The Statistician General or his representative in the last 2 years has been the busiest in South Africa, in Africa, working with legislative reforms of other countries. So whatever we are bringing here is we have even looked at what other countries, how it's working, how it's not working. There were specific tours to Mexico, United Kingdom, France, and the Philippines. And of course, the key highlights. What are the key highlights of the amendment? Particularly, we have deleted, we have substituted, and we have inserted new definitions. We needed to amend for provisions of dealing with the powers and duties of the Statistician General to make provisions for the development and implementation of the national system and the national strategy for the development of statistics by the Statistician General, to strengthen coordination and enhance collaboration among data producers and data users by creating an enabling environment for the production and consumption of quality statistics within the Republic, to make sure that we comply with the South African data quality, assurance framework, and of course we make sure that we access data from organs of the state that include trading entities, to make provision for the establishment of statistics units within organs of the state, and those statistics units, Chairperson, this is very critical, they must submit annual statistical plans and annual reports to the Statistician General. At the stage, what is happening is whoever we are working with do not have anything that they must submit to the Statistician General. It's just a kind of a quasi-fuzzy arrangement that is not very, very clear. And the Act doesn't allow us or empower us to deal with such issues. We need to establish a statistical clearing house in order to promote the functions and objectives of the national statistics system. And of course, we need to empower the minister to make regulations in relation to statistics, but in line with the United Nations fundamental principles of official statistics that will keep SSA independent. Chairperson, the impact of the amendment bill on the national statistics system to retain the current configuration, so the Statistician General, Council, and Minister remain. We are not introducing a new body to administer the Act. In some cases, when they review the Act or when they amend, they usually come up with creating new bodies, and we have seen it in France, where they created an extra body. They ended up with three bodies before you bring the minister. In this case, we are not introducing any other body. And of course, it is drafted in such a way that it serves the coordination needs of the national system. In terms of legal opinion, the legal draft bill in October 2018 was sent to the Office of the Chief State Law Advisor. The amendment bill that was redrafted was again looked at by the state law advisors, and of course in this case they also gave a draft legal opinion as follows: that the amendment bill complies with the Constitution of the Republic of South Africa and it conforms to legislative drafting practice. In conclusion, Chairperson, this amendment bill incorporates inputs from the state law advisors in the final draft amendment bill. And of course, we have submitted the bill. We are currently working with the Department of Monitoring, Planning, Monitoring and Evaluation in relation to finalize the socio-economic impact assessment system processes. And of course, furthermore, the certification of the bill by the state law advisors has to make sure that it leads us to the final amendment bill, which will be taken to cabinet and through parliamentary processes for consideration. Chairperson, once you see this slide as usual, liphelela apha ku ngalomkhulu uthando umbuliso yangomkhulu umbuliso ndihela kwako. So the next slide, Chairperson, no matter how much I want to present further, it looks like it's blank. But let me take this opportunity to introduce the team that comes from SSA. Yandi Swampe Cheney, she's the acting deputy director general responsible for the South African system of national services. And the work that we are presenting falls under her. Bruce Juoste is acting deputy director general responsible for corporate services. And of course, Mr. Ashwell Jeneka is acting deputy director general. Everyone is acting in the SSA. Yeah, acting deputy director general responsible for the marketing and of our products and communication and the streamlining of our product innovation to responding to user needs. Selvi Mashii is our legal advisor, is sitting next to Mr. Bruce Jose. And Pleasure, where are you? She is our legal advisor, and other than being in the legal advice division, she does assist Selvi with most of the work that we are doing here. But let me mention that in relation, I've seen other council members working in relation to upholding that independence. They are very hot and also very hot in relation to the work that we do. We don't contaminate each other. Mm-hmm. And the appropriate time when you ask the chairperson to speak, you will be introduced, Council. I won't introduce myself. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, FG. Can we now allow two honorable Kiri, Julie Malasi, Ramabani, Kiri?
Thank you, Honorable Chair. May I let me welcome the presentation by Steph from Africa. Honorable Chair, there is a Chair, I just want to get a clarity here. There is a strategic system and strategy currently from SEC. I just want to know, are there any challenges with the current system and strategy that has set your strategy? If there are, what are the challenges that you need to see that strategy and the system? something that we are looking currently. My second one, when will the social economic impact assessment process be finalized? I can hear that you are really doing a very good job, but the one is just want to know when do you think that it's finished? I think it's
Honorable.
Thank you, Chair. In the coming presentation from the in terms of conforming to legislation, that to say if FFA going to be pulled over in terms of new legislation that we would have to if that is so, what is it that they are playing a key role at home?
Thank you, Chair. My first question relates to the introductory remarks by the SG in terms of the updates that you have shown with regard to the funding issue. If we can get a sense of, I mean, I know that engagement is yet to take place from the sense that you're indicating, even from the joint communication that the minister had with council, but is there an indication of timeline as to when you are planning to get all the entities concerned into a meeting given the agency around the issue and the magnitude of it? And secondly, in terms of the amendment, from what I understand, the input you've made is that it won't result in an expanded body of SSA. But I'd like to reconcile that with the input you said to the establishment of the statistics unit within the organs of state as to what does that mean? Does it mean the creation of new personnel into these different organs of state, or will it be seconding from the existing personnel that exists within statistics per se,
and also to link that to the initial issue, which is again the funding situation within Statistics South Africa. If it's going to result in the growth of personnel to fulfill this gap that you accurately identified, how is that going to be managed? Will that be co-funded together with the affected organs of state, or will CSSA be entirely responsible for the remuneration aspect of it? Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, Chair. Let me also welcome the presentation. I'll just add, because my also question is based on the unit by the state organs, that will the establishment of this statistic, the statistic unit by organs, not cause that pushing from every system of that organ? That's my question, because the other people are
Let me, before you respond, SG, let me welcome the chair of the council. I'm sorry that you got lost to this thing. This parliament is like that, and when we arrived as new members, we were getting lost everything. But you'll get used to this environment. Can you please introduce yourself and your team before the SG responds?
Sure. Thank you, Chairperson. My name is David, Professor David Ellis. I'm chair of that council, which, as you heard, is an advisory body, so we're not part of that, but
yes.
We are either nominated by a premier professional body or self-nominated or elected on the council. My colleagues at the back are the deputy chair, Chubby, I'm sure you would be known from Economic Stats.
Hi.
Mbumi is from Population and Methodology. Please note that that's the person on whom the test of 2021 relies almost entirely, which is why she's looking so reliable. Is that all right? Yes, those are the deputy chairs, two of the committee chairs.
Welcome all of you. Welcome to this meeting. SG, over to you for the question.
Thank you, Chair. The Deputy Minister would like to give you some of the issues.
Okay.
Thank you, Chair. I want to address the one in the
relates to the limitations to the current strategy. The current strategy that we are talking about is at its tail end. So whatever we are going to bring in the form of the work program for this financial year will be the last tranchet of our 5-year strategy. And Chair will remember that every year in the strategy we bring our program, that is what we call the work program. And Parliament approves, because Parliament approves our strategy following the whole process in Parliament. And after that, Parliament approves the work program in relation to what man appropriates to us. So what we do in the work program, and in this case when we realize the limitations of funding, we make sure that our work program is prioritized to be able to do what we will do. So the limitations why they remain financial is that the work program is able to be implemented based on whatever funding we have. And that is number one. Number two is the next strategy which council has made recommendations to the minister, and the decision general has made equally recommendations to the Secretary General, coming to the Minister. The Council made recommendations to the Minister, advised the Secretary General, made recommendations to the Minister, and the Secretary General made recommendations to the Minister as well. Will come into effect on 1st April. And when it comes into effect on 1st April, it will be looking at technology as a way of going forward. But not only technology in the form of gadgets, but digitalization going forward. And that one, we will come with pieces of work programs, and we should be able to respond accordingly. But what we face all the time is when we don't have sufficient funding, we design to prioritize all the time. In terms of the socio-economic assessment system, we are going to conclude that in April. We are working with the Department of Planning and Monitoring Information. We are going to make sure that we get done by April. Of course, it depends on them. This is the time that they have given us. In relation to the fourth industrial revolution, Manduli, as to whether we are moving together with the masses, we are not able to do that impact now. It's not the role of the because let us look at the four measures of any system or any work that gets done or any policy. It's the input in the form of the budget that gets put there. The output in the number of people that qualify and emerge in terms of having qualified in technological skills of the fourth industrial, in response to the fourth industrial revolution. Those outputs lead to outcomes. Let us say only measures as outcomes. How many people have a radio, a cell phone, and the like? But having a radio and a cell phone doesn't mean that necessarily you are fully equipped for the fourth industrial revolution. It just means that you are able to catch the news when they come every now and then. Then the impact of that is not done by hand. It's done by researchers. Professors will tell you better, they are the ones who do the research, as well as in our country, the institution that deals with impact is the Humanities Sciences Research Council, as well as the CSIR, the Industrial Research Council. Because those ones, their job is to look at the impact that we are making. And in this regard, we may not be able to say that we are moving together with the masses. We may say how many people have all these gadgets that they need to enter that space. Going forward again, it's whether status quo will be all over the place. Not necessarily, and I want to combine this matter with the one that is being raised by Honorable Malatya, because Honorable Malatya has responded to the social economic assessment part. But there was a question that Honorable Ray, in relation to those units, how are we going to deal with them, and if we are going to go all over. We are using a decentralized system even going forward, in the form that departments will be responsible for hiring their own staff members. If we hire them and deploy them ourselves, they may not meet the needs of departments. Some departments may not meet them because not everyone will come in handy. And some departments already have those certificates. for example, Department of Education, Basic Education has a statistician. Department of Higher Education has a statistician. Department of Health has statisticians. Mainly in their epidemiology unit, but even everywhere. The South African Police Services has a statistician. National Treasury, Department of Planning, Monitoring and Evaluation. So you find statisticians everywhere. But what is happening is that they respond to policy needs of those departments for largely their management information system. They are not assisting us as SSA to harvest data that comes out from those departments. So we want to strengthen this, the amendment assists us to be able to say, once it's in place, then the statistician general and fellow heads of departments will sit together and say, I want to know your statistical plan for the year, which obviously they will go and even report in their own portfolio committee. And at the end of the year, I need a report to see as to whether we have moved in line with what we wanted to implement, so that it assists us to, over time, whittle down the cost of production of statistics, because a lot of data is sitting in administrative records. We are already harvesting those precise data. If you look from Home Affairs, Home Affairs sits with the National Population Register. So if you go to Home Affairs, you can actually see how many people are born, how many people pass on, and it's easier these days because Home Affairs has even improved, especially in most hospitals where they have their officials sitting there. When children are born, they actually register them, they get the birth certificate. By the time they leave the hospital, they leave with a birth certificate. And when people pass on as well, Home Affairs, and it has been improved by claims, even burial societies in villages these days, they want a birth certificate. So that has improved to know who comes into the system, who goes out. But it's still not enough. It's still not enough because we need to harvest data for official statistics for purposes. And I may just give a few examples. One of the things we do, we need to know the number of children born from that register, as registered, as well as from the household, because not everyone that is in the population register is the number of children born. It's just a percentage. There are still those that are born and they are not registered instantly, and they will be registered anywhere in those state days. And some of them, we still have some of them who are registered even 3 years after the fact. That's why we need to go to the households to confirm. We collect issues of marriages and divorces from Home Affairs. We release copies of death every year as Statistics South Africa. What we do, we go to Home Affairs. So we don't only look at death certificates. We go to Home Affairs and take not only the certificates, the microbes and the obesity form, and we go through them to look at the primary cause of death and the secondary cause of death. I may have been assaulted, but I then go and die out of brain damage. So I didn't die because I was assaulted. I lived for another 10 days. So we need to understand those kind of issues. That's the function of official statistics. It's not the function of Home Affairs. But once we have statisticians and statistics units, they will be able to help us harvest that type of data, and there will be no delays in receiving that data. Honorable Malumana, this is my last question. She asked as to whether we are not going to lose statisticians. It's inevitable. Our statisticians are lost every day. Last week I was in New York at the United Nations Statistics Commission. So one day during lunch, I met with other colleagues who used to work for SSA, from New Zealand, from Australia, from World Bank, from everywhere. In one place, there were 7 of us, and I was the only one that was still serving in SSA. And these are people who are PhDs and were trained. Some of them were trained over 20 years and the like. So no doubt when these units are established and they are formalized, they will need people, and people will need for whatever reason. But if we are able to replace them, the better. Because that's what we've been doing all along, except that now we are not able to do so. Chairperson, I think I've responded to all the questions that were brought to our attention. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you. No follow-up questions. Oh, I see the honorable minister.
Thank you, Chairperson. It is related to the Home Affairs Press capture, like the mortality rate. Do you report like deaths? There are men who die, so many, females, so many, kids like girls and boys, so many, and then still born. Or we just make overall like so many people died, but we don't identify specifically who died. It was a male, a female, a kid. What, a girl or a boy? How do you capture yourself in relation to death? Thank you.
Chair, when we release the causes of death, we release all age categories. We release even in line with gender. We even release the volume, the large volume. So we can say that in 2006-2007, we used to have deaths going up and climbing. But by 2006-2007, we plateaued at about 606,000 persons dying per annum. And we started going down. And as we started going down, where we are sitting at the last release of the causes of death, we're sitting at 542,000 persons dying a year, almost 543,000 persons dying a year. Could be 542,338 to be exact, if I recall very well. But having said that, we are able to say that the lead cause among men is tuberculosis, your communicable disease. We are able to say that the lead cause amongst women, and tuberculosis is actually going down from the ages, down to ages of around your 30s. With females, the leading cause is diabetes mellitus, which is actually going down to ages of about 40 and 45, so it has broken that ceiling from around 50 down there. So we are able to release this data, but not only that, we are able to even say beyond these numbers that death amongst blacks, particularly amongst colored and Africans, is actually moving away from communicable diseases to diseases of lifestyle, which is moving towards your diabetes, heart-related diseases and the like. And we are able to say among the whites and Indians, it's diseases of lifestyle that take their lives, as in your diabetes, cardiovascular, and the like. And in the process, a credit to our medical system in the country, that when communicable diseases start to decline as a cause of death, it means something is being done there, which was not the case in 2006. So, honorable Mutipe, we really break it down to every finest bit when you do so. Thanks, Chair.
The Chair of the Council, I welcome you once again. You can make just a little comment in terms of this part two.
I'm aware of the mystery.
Okay.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Honourable Member. I think it's important to note that even in the discussion you just had, I think that the day at its height was the best possible trainer of statisticians. So that our statisticians were poached by every department here and internationally. And that's fine, because we want to be an organization that takes clever graduates out of university and puts them in the real world where they have to deal with people like you and answer questions, legal questions. And when they are fully trained, they go to private sector to go back to wherever they want to go. And I think the funding crisis, and particularly the freeze on hiring and promotion has meant that we cannot hire any of those smart undergraduates. So we can't be producing the people for you to poach, even if you wanted to poach our people, and we're running out of them. And I think while we have had a meeting with the Minister and President, and it was a very constructive meeting, I think it's exceptionally urgent that Council meets with the Minister of Finance, the Director General, which is agreed that is going to happen. I just need to make it clear that while a very large budget has been allocated to SACIF over the tens of last year, I think in the order of over 3 billion rand, that's what feels worth. If there's no Citizens Fiscal Africa there to actually manage it, to analyze it, to propose a remuneration survey, it's a waste of your money. And the institution, as we stand right now, has got a 20% vacancy rate. We've lost since 2017. Our budget has been cut by 215 million rand. If I took that back to 2015, it would almost double. And so this year when we were given 45 million rand, it came with the condition that we further reduce our staff and our business services. And so the institution right now is at almost breaking point. If you have four people doing five people's work every day of the week, human error is going to happen. It's unavoidable. We have very clever people, but very clever people also get fired and they push the wrong button. And if we produce the wrong GDP data, if we produce our own CPI data, it's game over. And I think that's why we're trying to say, please can we fix this now before this is matched, rather than hit that terrible moment where wrong data come out, and then say, oh, look at that, they released wrong data. And the issue is, if we are not able to hire and promote clever young people and clever old people, as we all are in this room, or some of us are, but in particular to have a fully fledged organization that is thriving and able to run that center, then I think we're in. So I'm really hoping that the Deputy Minister, I obviously trust her entirely, but I'm hoping that that meeting happens soon, because the census is looming, huge for us, and we need to be adequately staffed well before that, not in the middle of the census, trying to find methodologists and waiting specialists and people who can actually run the thing. And I think it's a very delicate moment we're at right now.
All of us, the members of the community, the department, I can speak for the DM, we are concerned and we will address this matter of funding. I deliberately gave you the opportunity to address us, but this matter is putting attention. We are all on it. We are not on your own. Thank you. Let me now invite the PSA. The Honorable DM is here, Honorable Minister of Finance.
Yes, they are the both, but another thing is that the standalone entity should move back to the class, Chairperson, as we leave, for those of us who visit Sangoma, the muti only works when you are released to go, not when you say goodbye. So we thank you so much that you have released us to go. It means the muti will work. Thanks.
Thank you very much. Presentations on time and
different time, actually 7 days before the meeting, or 10 days, because we cross-check with the previous year and the previous company before, so that we give honorary members plenty time to do the other thing and also to have their own input in terms of how to best can make the, or all the materials that we can use. But also I'm looking forward that there will be less department going to GOMA on issues of compliance and those of government. And I know I don't want to say it's a senior government, but that's a fact of the matter. Where seniors they do go and extra money to the court, but don't put their court just do what is right at the right time and at the second. Also we will be hard on you. Because also the other GM, you know how to do this, but whether you have been employed now, for me, when you come to the committee, you must know. So we need the road running, but don't leave the road, keep the department running. Earlier I mentioned the aging is very, are very critical, it's one of our seeking marks, and also our assessment tool to the department. The other one, Chair, that I think is important, is the tracking tool that the administration through the office of the Chair will be sent to you so that you know also other than compliance issues, but there are issues that the committee would like your good department also to take care of the development agency in the 5 years. Other than that, all the best, my dear. Take care.
Honourable Clerk.
Thank you, Chair Johnson. I'm going to also ask from that Chair to Ikabi on her appointment. And I've had the opportunity to work with her for 5 years when I was at Castle in Province as the HOD for Community Safety, because I sat on that committee. And I must say she has a very open, approachable way of working, and I found her work of excellence in the committee at the time, and I'm really looking forward to continuing working with you and having that kind of relationship once again.
And we are so proud to get a young person also. And
But remember, you are not really only going to be doing the work for the department, but you are giving a service to the entire country. So we will be there to give you support. But if you don't, you're shy. I'm happy to hear the Honorable Clark said to work with you. So your people that you, if you do something wrong, you'll be able to say, hey, what did you get for now?
Thank you.
example for you so you can request the issue to get up to the presentation.
What do you do?
Thank you, Chairperson, and good morning to the team and the honorable members of the colleagues on the other side of the table. I just want to say firstly thank you for the warm welcome and congratulations, the luck and the well wishes I received them. I'm quite excited about being part of the department. I think it is quite an exciting work for the department with all the challenges that we faced in the past 7 years. I also just think it's a nostalgic moment for me because my career started in Parliament in 1996, where I was a committee secretary for the Department of Public Enterprises, or for the Committee on Public Enterprises. So it's quite nostalgic to come back years later as a director general for one of the department's departments. Just in terms of our, and I welcome the comments that have been raised around some of the issues that we need to look at. The submission statement in 7 days, particularly, we will certainly try and meet that expectation. It helps also when we know in advance in terms of what is expected of us and from our side in the department. Just in terms of the presentation outline, Chairperson, I'm going to share the presentation with the acting director general, Mr. Jiva Kibe. He is the expert on the subject. And he runs the unit that deals with conditions of service for public sector employees. Our slides, we're going to look at the purpose, the legal framework, the methodology, and misconduct, precautionary suspensions and interventions that we suggested or were putting in place. Just in terms of the purpose, we bring to update on the nature of disciplinary cases in the public service, as the Section 63 of the Public Service Act and its implications. I think it's been said earlier on by the Minister that this is one of the areas identified as areas of leakage within the public service, where we lose lots of money through suspensions and through probably bad handling of disciplinary cases in the various government departments. Just in terms of the legal framework that guides us, we are governed by the following Act, Regulation, Collective Agreement and Determination, the Constitution of the Republic of South Africa, the Labour Relations Act, which is like your super law after the Constitution in terms of the matters that we're dealing with, the Public Service Act of 1994, the Public Service Regulations of 2016, the Public Service Coordinating Bargaining Council, Resolution 1 of 2003 and Chapter 7 of the SMSN for Senior Managers. Just in terms of local authority, we have a decentralized human resource management system in government. So it means that human resources are run by the various departments. They're not run by us in the Department of Public Service. However, we provide the guidelines. We also monitor how the policy guidelines are implemented, and we do reporting. In terms of Section 12.1a, the President is responsible for the career incidents of heads of national department or government components. In terms of Section 12.1b, the Premier is responsible for the career incidents of head of the Office of the Premier Provincial Department or Provincial Government Component. In terms of Section 3.7b of the PSA, each executive authority has all the power to judicial and other career incidents of employees, including any other matter which relates to such employees in their own individual capacities. In terms of Section 7.3b, a head of HOD shall be responsible for the maintenance of discipline and for implementing outcomes of disciplinary processes. Chair, with your permission, I'm going to jump the slide so that Jiva can take you through it in detail, and I will move to the next one. Just in terms of definition, an employee in terms of Section 8 of the Public Service Act, employed either permanently or temporarily in a post or additional to the establishment. An employer means the public service as contemplated in Section 8 of the Public Service Act precautionary suspension means suspension as of an employee as contemplated in clause 7.2 of resolution 1 of 2002. So precautionary suspension is the full thing. Suspension means suspension of an employee as contemplated in clause 7.4 of resolution 1 of 2003, and it is without pay up to 3 months as an outcome of a disciplinary hearing. Misconduct means a failure by an employee to adhere or comply with the acceptable conduct of the workplace by action or omission. If the conduct is outside the workplace, there must be a connection between the conduct and the workplace. Just in terms of types of misconduct that is dealt with in the public service, they relate to financial misconduct or irregular expenditure, absenteeism from work, dishonesty, assault, damage to state property, contravention of code of conduct, failure to carry out lawful order, poor work performance, sexual harassment, insubordination, negligence, failure to comply with procurement procedures, dereliction of duty, intimidation, abuse of sick leave, drunk on duty, insolent behavior, failure to declare previous misconduct, prejudice and respect, theft, fraud and bribery. These are some of the types of misconduct also that we pick up a lot from the cases that are submitted to us. In terms of prohibition, section 61 of the Public Service Regulation 2016 highlights prohibitions in relation to each of the acts of misconduct. Prohibition basically means you are prohibited to work in the public service for a certain period of years, and there is a block of vessel that gets put in relation to that, and the process of removing that block in vessel involves National Treasury as a host of persons. The act of misconduct, for instance, the act of receipt of offering or receipt of undue gratification or the facilitation of such offering or receipt, or committing theft or fraud or conducting business with any organ of the state, or being a director of a public or private company conducting business with an organ of state, or misconduct resulting from the criminal conviction when an employee has been sentenced for 2 or more years imprisonment without the option of a fine, that gives you 5 years of being prohibited working in the public sector. Sexual harassment or unfair discrimination against others on the basis of race, gender, disability, sexuality, or other grounds prohibited by Section 9 of the Constitution, 4 years. Financial misconduct as contemplated in Section 81 or 82 of the TFMA, or misconduct resulting from a criminal conviction where the employee has been sentenced for less than 3 years imprisonment without option of a fine, that's 3 years. And lastly, contravention of any provision of regulations 11 to 14 of Chapter 2 of these regulations, which is the public service regulation, other than misconduct referred to in items 1 to 3, that gives a person a prohibition of a year. Just in terms of the methodology chapter that we use in relation to this work, I want to say that firstly, what concerns me, and we've had a discussion with the two ministers and Chiba earlier on, is that we use a paper-based system. So we don't have an electronic system that collects the data that helps us to analyze the data from an information intelligence point of view. As members may know, government, I think there's a process with the IMF, IFMS, Integrated Financial Management System, which is a process that was run by Treasury, which was meant to automate the number of problems. And we were also meant to be beneficiaries in terms of accessing the electronic system in relation to things like this report that we talk about. That process is with the SIMs and the situations that are taking place, and we can't utilize the system. So as a department, we can't invest in a system for two reasons. That is, a system that has been developed, IFMS, which we can't use at the moment. This is for government-wide the transversal system. But also there's a cabinet decision not to invest in transversal system by any of the government departments, until the issues around ICMS are resolved. So we are in that limbo. Besides, we don't even have a budget to invest in a system. So we are stuck with a paper system. So it has its own weaknesses because it's like trying to do a qualitative research project using data that you know to some extent is unreliable because those who are putting the input into the system are not as objective, may not be as objective, and sometimes they do underreport. There are cases where we suspect departments have underreported, but I will speak then how we have looked and how we can deal with those cases that we suspect. So, DPSA issued a circular in January 2012 for all departments to report quarterly on disciplinary matters on the prescribed template. DPSA received these reports quarterly from national and provincial departments, and information from these reports is consolidated manually. So you can imagine the type of human resource we have to utilize to be able to extract the kind of information that we require. In terms of challenges, Chairperson and members, departments are not making the time frames on finalizing cases. There is, and you will see when my colleague takes you through the details, there is long suspensions that result in court and the employees are at home but are being paid.
Okay. I really, really apologize on my behalf. It's not that I'm a little bit impatient. But probably because of the impact, I'm not explicit what we want to do with the department. I would like to say that there were questions, there were errors that we said the department focused on also. And also the mitigation factor in terms of speeding up the actual scenario because one, there are financial implications, legal costs, but also there's a double dipping in the form of suspended person and also an acting person that sometimes you are not certain the individual who is acting and also the committee that was established by the ISA, which is a disciplinary also denomination committee program, to assert or review the timeline of 3 months inside the intervention because it doesn't last. It lasts if you don't really last if you don't 3 months too long. The other one was to say, in terms of the provincial government, as you have said, in terms of the act, what role do you think as the department also you may play also to rescue that situation? But all that also is informed by the non-performance of the majority of the department. The other one will say that we shouldn't, I think the deputy minister spoke to, we shouldn't also recycle in non-performance in other departments as well. So I answered the word point. So I'm suggesting, Chair, looking forward, if we have one for the heading, but also state the areas of focus that we'd like to focus on, because I'm quite educated what you're telling us, but I'm very much aware. Because the other one, in terms of PASAL also, you need to tell us that how we're going to unblock that one. The PASAL in terms of IT, the project leader, the finance department, but also that finance department, we are the customer to finance department, they must also allow you. So those are the things that we'd like the presentation, but without changing it. But I'm not saying that I'm impatient, but I understand you might have not written all those things. And I talk about the checking system to deal with those things as well.
Chair, I think on that note, and let me not travel about what you know already, I'm going to hand over to Jiva to take us through some of the details of what the honourable member is raising in the presentation. I think where there are gaps, we can deal with them. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. I must agree, I don't think this report is detailed as what we requested. And, in the report, I've gone through this report, in terms of suspension for 3 months, how many people are, what is the amount, what are the precautionary assistance you're putting in place. Those are the kind of things we want to see in this report, so that we can see that these issues are really being dealt with. Thank you.
Morning, Chairperson, honorable members. I'm not the expert. I think if I was, there'd be no labor cost. There'd be no labor cost to turn over all the injustices done by employees and employers. Chair, I'm going to very closely go over the data, if you would permit me. but deal with the substantive issues raised by the committee. The challenges are important, Chair, because one of the issues is in a decentralized environment. You can only manage what you can coordinate and what you have a locus of authority for. So it's not that a Minister for Public Service can go to a provincial or national department where there's another EA and say, you are taking 9 months to deal with this. I am now expecting it. However, we have started the process. The Public Administration Management Act, which the Minister has put as one of the priorities for implementation in his speech, is in Section 15, creating a mechanism which is called the Public Administration Ethics, Integrity, Discipline and Technical Assistance Unit. Now, one of the key issues of that unit is to provide technical assistance and support to institutions regarding management of ethics, disciplinary matters, and to intervene where there are systemic blockages. This gives the minister the power to intervene. We didn't have it previously. Now, DM and PG will know that in April we are reconfiguring our department and revising the structure. In terms of the brief given to the DG and the structure that is approved at a macro level, the minister has approved the structure. So this structure will now intervene at a technical level to unlock precisely the plethora of issues you raised over time. And the other issue in dealing with this is how do we establish what is the baseline? Because the challenge we have around this is one, departments report on paper. So if they leave a template blank or a block blank, we don't know. We have to validate. And if you know when you go to the doctor says, what's wrong with you? You have things to tell him about that headache you have. Because the problem is people deliberately underreport generally. And when we look at the data, when we reconcile the number of people with the cost and the duration, they don't reconcile. Because you can work with every salary. Now, that's not helping us to get the data validated. As the minister says, and we use the analogy used in the Sunday Times, the building is burning. Everyone's asking who caused the fire, and no one's putting it out. So asking the issue about why you're reporting incorrectly is not solving the problem. And we believe that the town that is created is the mechanism to deal with this. In addition to this issue, we are working on reconfiguring ourselves because we can't stop. Now, in reconfiguring personnel, we're working with treasury. And chairperson and members, here we have the challenge. Personnel is a payroll system. It's meant to pay and keep biographical information. It's not meant to capture labor relations. And not everyone has access to personnel. So the only people who have access to personnel are the payroll people in departments, the personnel controller, and the personnel supervisor. Now, we have a challenge, and there's the disjunction. Labor relations people deal with confidential information. So you may not know that the DG is being disciplined. But it's not for me to tell a payroll person enter the DG's information. The labor relations environment. So we now have, how do you give labor relations people access to personnel without them looking at the payroll, but managing just the discipline? So we are working with Treasury, one, in developing fields in personnel, until we get the system, where we can start capturing when was the disciplinary issue, what did it, when was it identified, when was the notice issued, when was the hearing held, what was the outcome of the hearing, what was the date it was concluded, what was the sanction, and then we don't have to ask them to report. We draw a business report from ourselves, which is now, you either report if you have a problem or you don't report. But that's what we're going to use to manage it in the industry. The other problem we have in dealing with this issue is that before you intervene, you must know some of the causalities of the delay. And some of the causalities of the delay are the procedure. You see, we are a democracy that believes in discipline must be corrective, discipline must not be punitive, and which are the discipline must be fair. However, what people do is they abuse the fairness factor. So if I say I'm sick, I can't come to the discipline here, it's delayed.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the doctor said, I think the doctor said this before anything comes out. So the problem is there are numerous delays until the chairperson says, enough is enough, I'm moving on. Or it's not valid. So those delays create us not to meet the 60 and 90 days.
Mm-hmm.
The other challenge we have is that departments, I must be honest, we are aware that departments stay heavy-handed with discipline and departments. We are aware people are unjustly suspended. Now, in dealing with that, we've had a discussion with DG and we are coming up with a process where we are going to say, once a disciplinary matter is centralized, we are going to look at the process of cross-referencing across the county service with a central database. We haven't started that work, but our thinking is going there. The other point we want to raise is that very often the departments want to get an independent panel arbitrator, so they bring the lawyers in. And as you know, with court cases, they go for 5 years, depending how they want to. So once the legal people come in, it unnecessarily increases the cost and delays the process. So we have that process about saying, but you could get an employer and an employee there. When you start advocating for external legal expertise, you run the risk of unnecessary cost and protection. And that's what the minister calls the cost to waste in litigation. The other point is the departments are heavy-handed and unfair. The employees very often take the hearings on TV, which means that we end up in the CCMA and the labor relations. Now, what you take on brief is essentially not close, because you don't know what the outcome is going to be. So it starts becoming 2 years, 3 years, 5 years. That becomes a problem. So we now need to find a way for efficiency in terms of the process that must be seen to be fair, that an employee says, oh, they did the best, I know where I am, the process is concluded. Not that it's protracted. The other point we have is selective reporting by department. If the department doesn't tell you on their attendance that I have suspended someone for 60 months, we won't know. Except that person will have a letter that they will take somewhere, but we won't know. And that's the flaw in the system, that we say we must now find a way that when suspensions are initiated, something is triggered nationally. That we have a database to say, this is suspension 1 of 2020. We must put a process in place, and we're working on that. The other point, Chairperson, is that human resource capacity. In many departments, if you want to deal with this, they generally want an external person from another department, an employer representative. And for that, Chairperson and the Honorable Group, so far as indicated, there was a pool that was created to facilitate this. So we've got a pool of about just under 100 panelists that the departments want to share disciplinary hearings, initiate investigation, and look for investigators and initiators. They write to DPS and say, look, we don't have the capacity or the capability. Can you give us someone from the pool? So we give them a list, and then they request the department to release the individual to do the investigation. The challenge there, Chairperson, is we have not been doing quality assurance of the panelists, even if it's a good panelist or a poor panelist. And that's something we now have to put in place. The other problem is that discipline management is not seen as a managing conference.
Mm-hmm.
It's seen as a labor relations HRM conference, which is where the problem lies. So if I have a problem with my subordinate or my supervisor, it's expected that HR will deal with it, not the manager responsible. And as a result, it sets this context. And when that discontent gets to be toxic, it breaks relationships, and then it affects productivity. The other point we have is, for us to fix this problem, we need to establish an audited baseline of what is it, not paper-based reporting. So currently, Chairperson, and I'm going to skip the data with your permission. I'm going to get to the point. where we deal with this matter. And it's the last slide. The current traditional approach for us is the reporting is not static. The department reports to us. We look at which national department has not reported, or provincial department, and we escalate, that is starting before, we escalate to the DG. So the DG writes to her colleague and says, you have not reported, we've given you so many days to report, and the department increased reporting. We've actually seen an increase in reporting between our first and second reporting. The other challenge is that in the failure to finalize cases, we report per quarter. So where we currently stand, Chen, as you can see, I'm reporting to you about September data. Our data is at least two quarters behind me. Because I am now in March, but I will only get the data for December between January and March. I will only get the data for March between April and June, which is already 90 to 120 days behind. So we are looking at a problem that has already exploded. And now we have to be reactive. And that's not the way we want to deal with it. We're now trying to turn around that process. The other problem we have is that when people are at home, they are double dipping. And let me explain the issue. The double dipping is if you are suspended, you are paid not to come to work. Now the precautionary suspension is 60 days. And the 60 days works like this. The first time you, this has come to our attention. We want you to please indicate why you should not be suspended. And if you indicate clearly, the process stops there. But if your response is non-responsible and you don't indicate, we then indicate, look, on the basis of this, we have to do an investigation. You can't be in the workplace because there are people who are witnesses and there are people who have collaborated with you on this. This investigation needs you to be outside the environment. Therefore, we ask you to be a precautionary suspension, but to be available, and we give you 60 days. Now, what happens with departments? If you do a forensic investigation, if you put SIU in, or you get an investigator, that PD can take more than 60 days. And the chairperson can extend that date. But what employees do, and there's a labor court decision on this, they think that if you miss the 60 days, you can't be disciplined. The 60 days is about fairness to the process. Mm. Even if I don't meet the 60 days, you can't tell me I must withdraw the discipline. I can't continue with the discipline because discipline is the employer's right. The 60 days is the time frame to manage. So they say, no, you haven't made the 60 days, therefore you must dismiss the charge. And so we get into a legal conundrum, which is not necessary and frankly, it helps that the labor court is pronounced on it. The other point we are dealing with, Chair, is the second last bullet. GPSA is currently working with donors, international donors, where we are developing an audit methodology, because the only way we can deal with the runaway costs on discipline management and what I would call inefficiency we create in the system is to do an audit, which means that once we have this audit methodology, we go to a department, which would be the TAO, this new institution. We go into a department and look at all their files for discipline and suspension. If the file is incomplete, we close the case. Because it's not necessary to get open suspension. If there are no grounds for that disciplinary matter, we close immediately and file it. So our idea is once we do the audit, we have an understanding of who's been heavy-handed, who's administering discipline incorrectly, and where the efficiency in the system are. And that will become our baseline moving forward. In the meantime, Chair, we continue to provide support and guidance. We are also working with the PCTA to capacitate labor relations practitioners around more efficient advice and support to management on discipline management. So, Chair, the point about that I want to make is about the financial, legal, and criminal. Discipline management, while it's carrying on, the criminal case is also carrying on. You don't have to wait for discipline to happen for the criminal case to happen. Now what Spartans do, for some reason, once the criminal case opens, there's a fight in the hearing. No, the matter is not really that you can't do it. It's a knee-jerk reaction to it. And we are saying to the Spartans, look, proceed with the discipline. If there's a criminal charge, lay the charge, and the sanctions for criminality will come from the justice system. The sanctions for discipline do import. And in terms of this process, I mean, the most extreme discipline sanction that an employer can invoke is dismissal. Next to that is 3 months, up to 3 months suspension without pay. The worst another scenario is demotion. So those are the issues. The issues of written warning, final written warning, and so on, are for the softer issues in management of this. But once you get to the hearing, it's a matter of fairness that must follow the labor relations process. So, Chair, I'm trying to address the issues of financial legal double between the pool, the provincial government, the personnel, and how we are moving forward. What we are saying, Chair, is that the minister and have always blown our conscience to this since they came in. We are public administration. We are just not public service. There are responsibilities that are ours. If we haven't been getting it right, we must fix it. And that's where we are at the moment. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. One member, I think Honorable Soma, Muli, Honorable Sa, and
thank you for the question. But I'm laughing at something else. I apologize. You know the thing, next to the young lady, she was a person. But nothing for the chair. Probably let's start by appreciating the conversation. I think we do have to achieve what we expect. What we send is by the way, chair. That it seems like we're moving just as far. Probably, Chair, I'll make a suggestion if we look at from slide 13 to 28. Probably the department, we must look at prioritizing some of the services and some of the departments. We always tell them, always term them as civilian offenders. Because we can't say that we must cut to the bone or cut our hair until it grows, but it will great research. If you look at, just to pick up one for an example, just to support the statement, if you look at the meeting department in South Africa, because we have printed something for this matter as I would say, if you look at those unresolved matters beyond 90 days, actual doesn't need that one. Look at Western Cape, 299 out of 504. Look at KZN, 144, and most of them, because they are almost 21. I don't know whether they handshake or not, we don't also talk to them by the way. Or we are recycling those people who have also mismanaged in terms of financial management in this department. Because also, we just put that we need a helicopter for your view. But also probably if the provincial district master also needs to know which department in terms of the units that these cases are coming from. Are they coming from the supply chain state or where? Because we don't want to make a statement that it can't be formed as well. But it should be interesting just for your own view, when then you should also invoke your comply with your section 5, section 15 of the PAMA Act, will have. But also, Chair, what one would also appreciate is to say how do we as a department, Deputy Minister, assist this provinces and departments. I was looking forward also to see on slide 50, Chair, which probably could get extra information in terms of your water access department. At the national level, I might have omitted the only ones that are picked up is your housing, also even your food stuff, by the way. They are not eating by example. And that's an issue. Because they are still just commenting those something. I'm just surprised that because also how do you give confidence to other departments if you also are on the back foot? Not to send whatever opportunity that you may have, but the issue is that you are not accessing a future of your demand. The only thing that I didn't see in the chair, I must have committed and I apologize. How much cases, how much in terms of rental terms were paid? Or we take cases that we know very well that we are going to lose them. But because through our arrogance, we say we're meeting court. And we know very well from outside that we may lose that case. But we do have bigger units, or departments in our units in our department. Check. The other one is on the training of the initiators or growing up of church sheep. That, I still believe that you can also put it within the curriculum of public safety, energy, of energy value, when you induct the new entry in terms of your senior management. Because one of the other responsibilities in terms of lack of recruiting is also to deal with disciplinary issues. They also support the answer for those things, because other than just maybe a lack of African community, normally, to do the right thing at the right time. I would like to say probably when they come back to the question to tell us, you are saying that in terms of your IT also, you are in a more of a phase to improve that. But by the way, 10 years that we're doing that. Yeah, I've been there with the answer. I'm also looking for whatever things that are committed. I was here in this community in the last year. So it was still like the same reason, right? And I'm saying, I thought the same reason I've been here, the same one book. Okay, on a lighter note. But I'm saying that those are the things that you can ask the department through your booster, assist to capacitate the department to be patient. Because actually, if your department can be on file, we should always pick up the card. And so you don't have a case. And I think there's an issue that we have to worry about in terms of our archiving our documents to make sure that they are safe and verification, checking and balances of the accuracy of the information and the aim of judges and initiators or whatever. Other than that check, I'll leave it to my colleague looking forward to get the financial legal message that we have managed to do in terms of our department. If I say department,
and
intent of the department not finalizing matter. While the department is not finalizing a matter, it's the robot that I'm finalizing. And the department on the other hand is having money. What matters to be put aside from that team? I understand that we do have a labor which is playing a role in so on. But we can even come up with a policy of support. Because this is a bond in the set that is missing a department day in and day out. We should be having a way of eliminating that thing. And in terms of misconduct, not we realize when Mahatma was saying, I must let you focus on some of the issues that we have presented as the controller committee. But I said something to say, you see, I don't know whether it's happening now. Because when we go to the office in the Rafa, we pick up a massacre of our party to for which we are going to say, is there any way now? And secondly, deciding to say, as and when you are occupying a new senior office, see the shop which is somehow we integrate with our national school family. Also a party program. Who are we gonna we don't know everything. Once you occupy an office, you should be trained on such matters. For instance, the javelin style of we've been seeing him from time to time. Is there anyone? What if that machine is there? Is there anyone who has been charged? Look at this. You see example in the current
thank you, Chairperson. We are hoping that we are going to work well with you. And you don't forget that we are new European citizens in the country. So the task may not be easy. More especially coming to this department that focus on the South Africa economy. My question would be, this department is the one that is looking or is after the employment where 2,000 of our students are able to be. So it is the department that is looking at their performance, guided by PSA, PSCGC, and NRA. But My concern, DM and DJ, which is the official, which is in the letter to make sure which the kind of things government goes. Absenteeism and insubordination, they are being listed as types of misconduct. Whereas in most of the departments of our government, absenteeism is very high. And this is also causing a major problem in the performance of the department. Also coming to insubordination, it may look like it's a minor thing, but for the department not to perform, insubordination will be there. So in terms of your cases that you are getting, how do you address or do you do follow-up to these misconduct like absenteeism and insubordination? So how far are you taking this seriously? Writing down to other departments to report also on the matter of absenteeism, especially when, like on Monday, most of the people are not at work. Come Friday or Monday, most of the people are not at work. So do you think that if you can address this properly, we'll be trying to solve some problems that the department are facing? So I wish to check how far are you checking, or you will find that there are those who are hiding this, pretending as if it's not taking place, or if it is possible that absenteeism is not taking place. Thank you.
Thank you, Professor. I would like to congratulate again the young IOC, which really it will do much better. And then the Ramakrishna group, you always say that doctors don't have teeth. But today, really, this department does not have teeth. They are doctors. They do have teeth, but they don't know how to use their teeth. Really, because we cannot go on with backlog saying one thing today and every day, everything, every day we are saying one thing. So we have to change. And then since we have got this new lion, I think he will have the teeth that he will buy. And then most of the things will work accordingly. And then on the issue of types of misconduct, right? There are types of misconduct which really need to be specified clearly, identified clearly, that which are the misconduct that led to precautionary suspension and which misconduct that are led to suspension. That one of 3 months, 6 months, and then I heard that there are lighter misconduct which are very light. Do get the verbal and the written letter. So it must be clear, they must be clearly stated which one, identify them accordingly, so that employees must know which one is he committing. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Okay, you can speak in one of the
class. I'll just speak to you. Chair, this is a very damning report, I have to say, and the situation is damning. And for me, you know, we talk about building a capable state and addressing the economic situation we find ourselves in very tough, trying times. And if we're going to save in tough, trying times, we need to deal with this too, because I think this is a huge cost to the state. And I particularly would like to address the Deputy Minister. Because, you know, I haven't been on this committee for a number of years, like a member of the former, but I mean, when I hear that the talk of an electronic system has been on the cards for many years and it still hasn't happened, and my real concern is the system is weak and that you should manipulate certain situations because the system is weak. And that is human nature. You're always going to find that if you cannot keep it. And what worries me is when I look at this report, you know, give us a detailed report as to 5 years that you can't work work within government relating to certain acts of misconduct. And one wonders how many people are actually back in the system because the system that we use is weakly actually can't control these issues. So I would really like to have a commitment from the department at a specific time frame as to when the system will be in place, because until such time we can continuously have the manipulation of suspensions and misconduct by certain members of staff. And I'm not saying everybody, but people have the habitual people that continuously do this. Then, you know, and then you look at, I mean, I'm looking at this question paper that the state has, and it says, why do you think officials report your business to the state because they do not fear the 5-year sanction? You know, we spoke about this before at Lentisis as a committee, and we were going to get a report of officials that have actually had criminal cases against them, and, you know, the SAPS was going to come into their sections in the future, and haven't. And then also, you know, total cost of the cooking suspension cases cost us $22.3 million and $61 million. But that for me is a complete fatuated sum of money, because the legal costs accumulate a lot more than what we have been told here. And like the minister said, it would be very interesting to see what those legal costs are and how much of those legal costs have actually been recouped by officials that have done this in their personal capacity. Because I think if you take things on if you take a matter to court and you are not and you are found guilty, you should be liable to the legal costs. And the state must take some kind of measure in order to collect those costs from people that behave in that manner. And then also departments that don't meet the time frames in finalising their cases. I mean, what kind of consequence management do we have in place in order to deal with people that don't do their jobs properly and just flout what should be done within the department and talk and you know, just that kind of behaviour itself raises unbelievable costs to government. And stop an official that behave in that manner. There must be some consequence management in place to deal with people that just don't care and just are not the system to be able to
and that is why I said in my opening remarks that the management of difficult cases is excellent to say they are committed in its conduct, and therefore I am touching that is the responsibility of the DG and staff and the minister of the president. That's not the respect to say this is happening if you charge the system, this is what the system that is going to do. You that are not going to be able to do that because you are just going to come from the ocean. And then we say to them, when you have done it, you go to report to us. But the DG has said that the reporting system is not a matter of that because it's a paper-based report. And what the DG said is that even with that paper-based report, if we don't include a particular information, we don't have it. Imagine change the staff and staff of paper into the real stamp of paper. That a official in the department has to open and go through and catch up information. That's not. But also what we are saying here is that over and above that, the department then decides to report or not to report. And if they have not reported, when the Department of Public Service and Administration, you may not know because you don't know about it. So they decide not to report, and you don't know because they are not in the department. So you take what they have reported, and if you think and suspect that there might be another problem, then you deal with that through writing letters by the DG to other DGs, and probably there's no response escalating that to the minister, writing to other ministers. But it will be very difficult for minister of public service and administration to therefore go to the department. Can take the message to indicate and say this is what is happening, but it can only send us to supervisor. So I'm emphasizing the point that it's a system that is dependent, or the work that is dependent on other people who themselves have authority, which might actually be different to our authority. But the information that is given to us is also helping us if you look at it and you are analyzing it. Whether complete or not complete, we are able to say, looking at the number of cases reported, we are able to say that even if I may not know, and I may not be in that department, but I would have expected that the government must have reported more cases. Making an example of absenteeism, for example, on abuse of sick leave, for example. You will hear departments that you know that they do let their victims work. Either that people are not disciplined for abusing sick leave, or it is not reported to us, and so on. So we are able, on the basis of information, as you underline, I'm analyzing the information to get some information. I just wanted to say that as the teaching and the teaching is responding on some aspects. Definitely, we need a system, an electronic system, that will convey to happen to capture information as and when a person is charged. Because in that way, we'll therefore be able to see it at the department to follow up on those things to say what has happened. So I really agree that there will be some abuse of discipline in the department. But how do I know? There will be some, there will be a lot of wastage of money, that is what you expect. There will be some abuse. But the abuse comes from both sides sometimes. The person who is charged or the person who is charged, it can come from both sides. Some people will be charged for real cases, but they just survive on looking at the processes and putting the data properly for you and out of the accident. And that is why the issue of training is critical, which I think is part of it. The minister of health, like I indicated, the disciplinary process and gradient process form part of orientation of all employees that come into public service. At some level, there's a better set when you come, you are also given a copy of your own disciplinary process, and you know a greater procedure you should be with yourself so that you know exactly what is the process and what is the process. And I think we are trying out that under the circumstances, we can do better if we have a system in education. Teaching.
Thank you. This is the When I first got the presentation from the team, I asked lots of questions, and some of them have come from this meeting. But the reality of our situation is that the team could not bring that information at the time because of the nature of the system that we have. Unfortunately, that's our reality currently. I think that the AM has covered a lot of issues on our part. I do, though, just wish to say that I think the issue that have to do with follow up with the criminal justice system, there is the public administration ethics and integrity disciplinary technical assistance unit, which we call it DAWU, which is supposed to, it's a unit in the department which is also being officially formed in the structure from the 1st of April, which is supposed to help us to track the cases that are in the criminal justice system. So we can find the information now, the members are asking for and reporting, but there is a systemic way in which we want to do it internally in the department. And I want to agree that the fact that the minister and the leadership of the department have highlighted this area and declared it in the department as an area of weightage or leakage in terms of resources in the public service, which requires attention. One of the decisions we've taken is to escalate the matter even to our government, state capacity and institutional development cluster, which is shared by PSA and COFTA, just to make sure that issues like this report and continuously talking to the DGs to ensure that the work that needs to happen in their department happen and they do report. It's quite important. The issue around a system, unfortunately, we work within a certain governance process. And the governance process is that the state spends lots of money on IFMS. And the state or cabinet has issued an instruction that we must not invest in transversal systems again. So we can only work with what Central is able to give us, and we are negotiating with Central so that we can also have international missions people who are having access to the system so that they can pull up the reports that we want, and some things in Central being added to ensure that we have access to that information. But we can't go into the department and buy another system. We don't even have the money at this stage to buy another system, but government has invested billions in the system, which is currently a subject of investigation by SIU. And unfortunately, because the system is being investigated, we can't utilize it at the current moment, unfortunately. The other issues about absenteeism and youth subordination, etc., I think what we will endeavor to do when we bring, I think from the 1st of April, this is the discussion we're having in the new financial year, the whole idea around being proactive in getting the information before a suspension happens, we need to know, not to interfere. We can't tell them don't suspend or suspend, but we need to know, and we need to satisfy ourselves that processes have been followed, and we need to have a tracker, a system of tracking, even if it's manual, we need to have a system of tracking that this suspension, this is the process, and etc. Let's go back in 6 months and go back and check, and we close the suspension, what's happening. If we need to send auditors to go to the department and audit, which is what our discipline management unit will be doing. Send the auditors to go to the department, check the files. If you suspect the department is under-reporting, like some of the departments here, just by virtue of being in government, we know that they are under-reporting. The DM was saying, for example, the issue of him, even on disciplinary cases, then you can easily send the guys to go and audit. I think the issue about this, that we're like those teeth that we're not using in the teeth. I think we must continue to sharpen our teeth. There's an opportunity to use our teeth even more, and we'll continue to sharpen our teeth and do what is possible to make sure that. I don't know other dilemmas. If I left, I've just dealt with the questions broadly. I don't know if I've left. Oh, the CPSA question, I must really answer this one because it's cut directly on the department. There was a colleague who was suspended in the CPSA. Unfortunately, the process took a little bit longer because there was an investigation, and the colleague has subsequently been dismissed. It was related to supply chain management issues. What I have asked the team now to do after the dismissal is to look if there are issues that relate to criminal proceedings that we need to take up. But we are fully aware that there must be positive investigation that needs to be done. We've just done the disciplinary process internally based on the report and on the information from the Public Service Commission and the report that we received. It is the Supply Chain Management Director who was accused of interference, with the supply chain management process. So the colleague has been dismissed. He's been quiet. We don't know if he's intending to take the process any further or challenge the department. We will listen to that. Lastly, Chair, I need to speak on this thing because having experience of being a manager in public service and being a head of department and getting frustrated, and it is impossible at times to complete the disciplinary process within the time the DSA requires people to complete them. And this is due to the fact that also employees, especially those who are unionized and rightfully so within their rights, delay the processes. So you have to interrogate each case to understand where the problem is. The problems of capacity sometimes, the cases are so many, we may not have enough people to run with, to initiate the cases, etc. in the different departments. Even though DBSA has trained people and built capacity that can be helped into, remember those people still have their own responsibilities in their department. And then being released to chair cases and to initiate cases
is linked to their availability in terms of their responsibility. But there is also, we have a labor relations environment that enables people to postpone when they want to postpone, and they postpone and postpone. So it can get frustrating at the level of management when you have to close the case by the person and you can't afford it. But as I'm saying, we those cases that are bad, we should really look at this case in terms of its merits. There are those that are to continue under suspension forever. And I want to see the development because it is important that once the period is in which you can do continue suspend the person, then they will come back to do the work. Then if they the work that they are supposed to do, if a person is a supply chain director, maybe they must go to another unit and do something different. You need to address the issue of those cases, but don't allow people to stay home for 3 years or whatever and paying the money at the state. So we will certainly try to sharpen the teeth within the context of the law as the department in terms of just getting people the department to act, but also use the government structures in government to kind of name and shame departments that are failing to do the work as expected from our part. Thank you.
Or even late coming,
you can't accept 10 instead of 7 or so. And also you don't know what is happening in the world because they're not part of what state it is. So something that might be regarded as light or minor, depending on how you interpret it, it might have far-reaching consequences. However, you can still sit down with that lens, with your head, and say, why are you there? You give the reason, and then you say, you don't do it again. But that is again and again and again, and it becomes something. So that's not taking into context. Good, and there are things where you really like a supervisor to say, I will give a verbal warning on this one because I think it's something that does not need to be codified. If it happens over and over again, it actually can lead to the human code that the institution is not. But of course, we're talking about people for this and that and those things we can attribute to your sexual harassment as well and those things that you can accept a verbal warning if it's given for sexual harassment, for instance.
Endorse the work and say everything is fine.
if you think there's something that needs to be corrected, we will report to the indicator. Yeah. But we'll go page by page. We are on book 8. Page 1. We have 3 reports. It's book 8. Yeah. And then we have book 10. You see that? And then we have book 12. Page 6. Page 7. Page 7 goes over to page 8. Right. Now we will go to findings and observations. They start on page 6. Let's go point by point there, because we want to be sure that everything is there. Yeah. Let's go to 5.1. Point 6 goes up to point 8. Page Yeah, can I get a move on the second honorable spot?
My answer is I would not necessarily move anything because I was not practicing any of the things before. But having said that, Chair, I observed that in terms of from 5-2, 5-3, 5-4, 5-7, 5-8, the committee will raise a concern around those issues. I thought probably it should be a recommendation for the Congress to raise a concern. And the Council of Ministers and the Council says, and so on. Because we need also to say, to make a recommendation that is clear, unless we are saying that we have been raising this issue in time after the department and must be recorded as that. So all in short, Chair, I'm saying this is the concern. We must be converted to recommendation to keep track and direct the department to implement the issue. Because if you are not raising a concern, we are not compelling them to into address the issue in the case.
Okay, I hear you. I see other members nodding. We are all in agreement with what you are saying. So that is our decision to committee. Can we therefore adopt this? Honorable Kiri?
Okay, I move for the adoption of this with the correction.
Honorable, or before that?
Thank you, Chair. In my understanding was that this finding is an observation.
Yes.
And then after this, I think it was a good recommendation of our findings, what we have recommended. I think based on that, I would also support the move.
Okay. All right. Let's go now to Public Service and Administration, which is vote 10. Page 1. Page 2. Page 3. Page 4. Page 5. Page 6. Page 7. Page 8. Page 8 goes up to page 9, and then after that, finding an operation from point 4. As I have said with the previous vote, on the findings and observation we go point by point, I'm now on point 4.1. And then close part is the recommendation that we have made with the bullet committee. Do you have anything? Honorable Clark, Honorable Tom?
Jefferson, just on 4.2, committee encouraged the Public Service Commission in collaboration with the DPSA. Remember, the Public Service Commission told us that the DPSA should play a role in collaboration with them in order to deal with it.
Mm.
And then also with his cap leaves, leaves are something that lies on the ground. And for that one, then 4.4, when we discussed the PSC promoting code of conduct program, we also requested that they give us a report as to what the outcomes were in terms of this program, you know, whether there were positive outcomes in terms of the partners implementing it. So we asked for those outcomes, and then 4.10, I think we must just fix the language and say whether the partners did not do well. I think underperform is the far better from the way of putting that sentence.
Yeah.
Not as well as it was equivalent. And then 4.12, in terms of developing a framework for the Tsutomu Service Centre, it was also critical that somewhere we, you know, because in my experience on visiting these centres is that the critical the critical issue there was that service delivery agreements were not put in place with the various different departments of government that provided the service, and because there were no SLAs in place, there was very little management happening at those centres. And I think we have a clear agreement with each of the departments that are supposed to provide a service there, we would go a long way in addressing that framework. So I was concerned with that. Every centre I visited, that was the problem.
Now, it's been open for 12 years but no equal agency has been in place. And that's really when you do that to actually knuckle down as to what is the principle of doing what you should be doing. That's all for me.
Page 2. Page 3. Page 4. Page 6. Page 7. now we go back to finding an observation on closed form, which goes point by point. For point one, for point two, for point three, for point four. Point five. And then the recommendation on 5.1. Now we come.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. But permission asked me. I think also in terms of our priorities of 2020, I think it will be advisable that the observation that we made at 4.4 should also be in the combination. Because we did say that it seems that in terms of equity, meeting equity targets, it seems that we are looking back for whatever increase in that system, the effect again we have presented in our last meeting, but we must also keep them in combination because it's one of also our oversight. We want to make sure that the age equity is something that we do as government. The next one, Chair, is point 4.5. Also this one, I would also ask the committee to answer here whether I'm taking it right. And then the last line, that the committee further highlights that the amendment of the Statistical Act of 1997 has collaborated. I think it's a good idea, but we are still, they made a presentation today. And because I think a lot of other people should have raised this issue in mind. But I said, let's put it as a recommendation here so that we are suggesting that it should be incorporated there in terms of the new statistical legislative reform. Because it was talked to that. But also, I believe, Chair, that having said that, your good office also will bring this observation to the attention of our. Because elections are, as you said, are the responsibility in terms of the opposition party.
Can I get an indication on the adoption of this one? Another information?
I know for the adoption of this one to be amendment.
Any second, that's another information? Honorable Chairperson,
thank you, Chair. Thank you so much for your good collaboration.
Thank you very much. Now let's go to the two sets of minutes. I think we are going to be very fast on these two sets of minutes because all the recommendations are in the report. Let's go page one. Any questions on page one? Page two. Page three. can I get an indication of adoption of this? Honorable speaker? Can you talk about the honorable speaker? Where? Thank you very much, Minister Adopter. Let's go to the minute of the 26th February. We both page that page is in there. Any corrections on page 1? Page 2. Page 3. Page 4. This text is also table for adoption. Can I get an indication from them as well for adoption of this text? Page 5. Page 5. I can propose to adopt. Honorable Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. I move for the adoption of the minute of the 26th of February.
Any second to Honorable Chair? Honorable Clark?
I have a question.
Thank you very much. Honorable members, thank you very much. Okay.
Honorable members, I'm sorry to talk to Chair Joseph. In terms of our ministry, if you look at our 2.6 of the one that has just adopted and the AR on 2.4, it says no because of time. I want to raise the reason why I was sent to the new teacher that we must get it the what you call it, the presentation on time. So that also we can easily need to bring forward the question so that they can respond to the meeting. But also as the question that said Chair in the mentor that probably also we need to bring to the determination of the officer that we have more time for the members to engage with the presentation that we have to be right.
Thank you. I'll do that, Honorable Tom. Thank you very much, Honorable Member. That brings us to the end of this meeting. The meeting is adjourned.